Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 John. Now, 1 John is not John. There are three little books at the back of the New Testament, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They are thought to be written by some people by the same person who wrote the book of John. Other scholars say no, that the language is a little different, but probably somebody from the same community as John. And so hear these words. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from God whatever we ask, because we obey God's commandment and do what pleases him. And this is God's commandment, that we should believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandment abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's very beautiful theology. It is not a text that comes up too very often. But as I was thinking about it, I thought of an expression. I've grown up with lots of expressions. I'm guessing some of you grew up with lots of expressions. Some of them don't get used anymore, like the cat's pajamas, right? Or fair to middling. I still use that one all the time when I ask somebody how they are and they go, oh, so-so. I go, oh, you're fair to middling. One of my other favorite is, that's like carrying coals to Newcastle. My mother used to say that when I would overdo things. A day late and a dollar short. Everybody knows that one. Well, the one that I grew up with that I thought of when I was reading this scripture this week is, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And when I read it, I thought, well then, my road is very, very long. But it is an expression that I grew up with a long time ago. And I was thinking about, aren't we creatures of good intentions? We really are. I think that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But it's easy to speak about love and caring, but it's not as easy, I think, to match our actions to our words. We've heard the expression, too, actions speak louder than words. When we can be counted on to do what we say, the byproduct of that is always trust, and all relationships are built on trust. I read recently that a consistent test of genuine Christianity is whether our feet and our tongues are in alignment. I like that saying too. I don't normally do this, but I want to read you a little story. Pastor Carrie showed me this story when she knew what I was preaching on, and I actually had heard this story, but Steve Goodyear, one of our district superintendents, has written it up as a wonderful story, and some of you it may sound familiar. There is one person known for his desire to help, and it was Fiorillo LaGuardia. Remember LaGuardia? He was the mayor of New York during the worst days of the Great Depression and all of World War II, and he was adored by many New Yorkers, who took to calling him the Little Flower, because of his name and the fact that he was so short and always wore a carnation in his lapel. In many ways, he was bigger than life. He rode the New York City fire trucks, raided city speakeasies with the police department, took entire orphanages to baseball games. And when the New York newspapers went on strike, he got on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the kids. One bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at night court that served the poorest ward of the city. LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen refused to drop the charges. "It's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor," the man told the mayor. "She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail." But even as he pronounced the sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill and tossed it into his famous hat, saying, "Here is the $10 fine, which I now remit. And furthermore, I am going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat." Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant. The following day, New York City newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered woman who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of that amount was contributed by the grocery store owner himself, while some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, gave the mayor a standing ovation. And then Steve writes, "Sometimes it takes the desire to help, and you can find a way. Someone beautifully said, sympathy sees and says, I'm sorry. Compassion sees and says, I'll help. When we learn the difference, we will make a difference." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I thought about the intention of the shopkeeper. It is a good intention, justice, to deter crime. But then, was it God's intention? I also started wondering, when I thought about what the scripture was saying to me, was saying sacrifice. And I know that we all sacrifice. But I also thought about the fact that it's not sacrifice we're actually afraid of. We're just afraid of the fear of what it means to give something up. The fear we have is, what will happen if I sacrifice? Once we sacrifice something, don't we generally feel pretty good about it? When we do for others, when we're compassionate, whenever we go that extra mile, do we ever say, that made me feel terrible? No, it makes us feel wonderful. But the fear of sacrifice, not being able to sort of project forward what the consequences of giving something up might do to us. But love, we know, is an activity of movement. It's a response. It's not a doctrine. It's not a sermon. It's certainly not a legal document. And this scripture is about action. It's about sacrifice. And it's not written to the poor in general. It says to a brother or a sister, someone who in that moment is in need and who is standing right before you. If we close our hearts to a brother or sister, we close our hearts to God. A life of faith and our ability to love are bound together as a single package. When we listen to the reformers back in the good old day, they said that all that was required for salvation was faith alone. But John Wesley came along and said, faith is never alone without works. He always said, where there is grace, there is responsibility. When God creates saving faith in our hearts, God also creates an active love that we respond to. Faith in Jesus Christ is faith that transforms the believing heart. It makes all of our hearts into a self-sacrificing heart. We know by this that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? Here they have connected the eye to the heart. If you see it, you must do something. To lay down one's life is to open one's heart. I think our young people today need for us to show them that sacrifice is not a scary thing, and that it's not how they feel about themselves that's important, but how God feels about them. I think the profound difference between Jesus and all of us is that Jesus felt the fear of what that sacrifice was going to mean, and he did it anyway. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And listen to this. And by this we will know we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts. We are from the truth. Wouldn't that be a daily blessing to know that our actions and our very lives are from and emanate from the truth? The good news is that when we act lovingly, even when we don't want to, we can be assured that nothing less than God's love in Jesus Christ is what we are incarnating. It's always present in our acts. All the things that I read in the different commentaries this week said, it doesn't matter what the intention is, because God knows our heart. Maybe. Our intentions really do sometimes lead to our behaviors and our actions. And sometimes the intentions stay buried. And I'm glad that God knows my heart, especially when those times where my intentions were good, but it didn't turn out so well. Chuck Knox, the football player, said, I can see what you do so clearly. I don't need to hear what you're saying. The road to heaven is paved with good intentions and even better actions. And it is the self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ that is our ground and our motivation for that. When we keep the love commandment, we are one with Christ. We abide with Christ. And as John tells us, Christ abides in us. I know you all have it in you. I have seen your good hearts. You have shown them over and over again in the way you care for one another and the needs of your brothers and sisters. God is creating good hearts in all of us if we are courageous enough to accept it, if we are willing to lay aside our fear of sacrifice and connect our feet with our tongues and our actions. And do not fear. Remember, when you start down this road, Oz never did nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. Amen.